Hello and welcome to Game Over Screen, a podcast where we talk about all things video games, the news of the week, what we've been playing, and much, much more. Except really, it's not much more than that. That's pretty much the show, as I just described it. I am one of your hosts, Sean, and I'm joined, as always, by my fellow host. Hello, Tyler.
Hey, it's me. I'm always here.
You are always here. Unlike some people who are not always here. But we still love the other people, right?
Sure, that helps you sleep at night.
Brendan is not here this week. He had other things he had to do tonight. He had to he had people visiting, so he was not able to join us. But it's probably a good week for him not to be here, because we got a lot of stuff to talk about that he's not involved in. Because this week, Avengers came out. It came out today, but Tyler and I, as we are Marvel whores,
that's true,
spent the money to get the $70 version, and we had access on Monday. We've been playing Monday. Tyler's played way more than me, but we've still been playing a good amount, so we'll talk about that quite a bit. And also, other things that Brendan knows nothing about. Union Cross, Kingdom Hearts Union Cross got an update today. We'll talk about that a little bit, just to pad out the show. And then we got some news bites, but honestly, besides that, there's not much going on today. A short news week, not even anything worthy of being a main topic. So I don't know what the fuck I'm going to title this. Hopefully, Avengers, we talk about Avengers enough for me to just use that as the title. But before we do that, we do have something else we have to hit on, and that is, Tyler, your Animal Crossing report. So tell us about the week in Animal Crossing.
So this week, I didn't really play Animal Crossing.
Cool.
I loaded it up. Sunday came around and I had the game open. Didn't even buy turnips. It was just like, I don't feel like it this week. Yesterday I got the idea that my bridges are really shitty.
Okay.
And I'm fucking rich now. I should just, because when you build a bridge, you can't like upgrade to a new bridge, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have to pay money to demolish that bridge and then pay more money to put a new bridge up. It's kind of bullshit.
Yeah.
But I don't have to worry about it now. So I'm going to put in all the bridges I want. Well, as many bridges they'll let me. And maybe make some inclines for some easier stuff.
Okay.
And it's going to be good. Actually, they're way cheaper than I thought they would be.
And that game really likes to fuck you over at any chance it gets with money, doesn't it?
It does.
It's like the real world. What's more realistic, Animal Crossing or Avengers?
Probably Animal Crossing.
Yeah, I think so too. Avengers does also fuck you over, not so much with money, but with resources.
That's true.
They're always taking resources from you. Always wanting you to spend them, you know?
Yeah, I just try not to upgrade anything that's below purple.
Yeah.
Like, what's the point?
Me too. Is that everything that was going on with Animal Crossing?
Yeah, that's it. I didn't do shit in Animal Crossing.
All right.
I got someone in my campsite. They were really ugly, so I didn't speak to them.
Oh,
just
cool.
Like last time.
All right, then let's just talk about Avengers. I wrote down in the notes, Avengers Assemble, because I couldn't think of anything else to name the segment. So Avengers Assemble is the name of the segment. All right, Tyler, we played the beta. We talked about the beta in a good length, but let's talk about the actual game, because I feel like the game is way better than the beta, and I liked the beta.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you, first initial week one impressions of Avengers?
Game's still pretty good. Definitely runs a little smoother sometimes. There's mm-hmm. definitely some missions towards the end of the campaign, which I finished.
Yes.
That definitely, ran like absolute garbage.
So, I'll say this. Since you just mentioned you finished the campaign, I am close to the ending. I think I'm gearing up to do the final part of the campaign, or I'll probably beat it either tonight, definitely this weekend. But we won't talk about spoilers this week. Probably won't talk about spoilers next week. We'll think about it. But we'll talk about the campaign in spoilers at some point, because I thought so far it was actually really good and worth talking about in depth spoiler wise, but so I'd, yeah, go ahead and continue.
It's not super long, but what's there, I think, is really good.
Yeah.
And that's just fine.
And there's more coming, right?
Yeah, there is more. With every new character, there will be a continuation of the story.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't gotten a chance to play a lot of the characters, like, in depth.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, as you know, I play Black Widow.
Yes.
And I think she's really fun to play with her combos and her grappling hook and... And that's fine. Play a little bit of Thor. Still feels good. Play mostly Cap towards the end. Still pretty... He feels pretty good as well, except when you have to, like, get to a high place, then you gotta, like, map out where you're gonna go. It's a bit of a hassle.
Uh-huh. Kamala. I thought Cap felt great. Yeah, I really enjoyed playing Cap right now. Thor... The only mission I've played Thor in is the one that he, you know, the one that he appeared in.
So yeah, that was from the War Table, like I said. Yeah. I think that was called Once an Avenger.
Yes. That's the only bit of Thor I've played. I was with him. I think if I get good with him, I'd really enjoy playing him. But right now, my two favorite to play are Iron Man and Cap.
Mm-hmm. Kamala still feels good.
Kamala's great. I think what we can talk about story-wise is I wish they kind of marketed it this, but I don't think they marketed it enough. But the story is really told from Kamala's point of view. You play as the other characters during the story, but it's a lot. I would say if I had to pick two leads for this game, it would be Kamala Khan and Bruce Banner.
Mm-hmm. That's what I would say too.
And I think they're both fantastic. Troy Baker as Bruce Banner is he's great. He's amazing. And I don't know who plays Kamala Khan, but they also do a fantastic job. And I just think using her as the POV, and I mean everybody's been talking about this. Everybody that plays the game has said that her being the POV character was great, like a great idea. Mm-hmm. And I'll echo it. It's a fucking great idea, and it's a ton of fun.
And it's because, well, at least I think so, because she's like this hardcore like superhero fan girl.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And so she's like, oh, you're Iron Man. You did this and that, and you can do all this cool stuff. And that's how people are in real life, you know.
Yeah.
And you think about a superhero, you're like, oh man, they can do this and. And they're so cool sometimes.
Yeah.
But her voice actress is Sandra Saad. Thank you. Or Saad. Two A's in there. Not sure how to pronounce that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like whenever... Because obviously from what has been said before the game, it's called the Reassemble campaign. So a majority of the campaign is built around reassembling the Avengers. And whenever a new Avenger joins in, like Kamala's interaction with them feels like exactly what like one of us would do if we met an Avenger, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a scene, I don't want to spoil it, so I'm going to be really vague, but there's a scene where two of the Avengers get into a disagreement. And she's kind of in the middle of it. And that felt very much like, like her reaction very much felt like how a fan in our world would react to seeing two of the heroes about to like about to go at it, you know. I don't know if you know what scene I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But yeah, she's just great, and well, she's not my favorite character to play gameplay wise. I absolutely adore her character and story in the campaign.
I like grabbing dudes and swinging them around. Think that's fun. But I'm gonna run through the rest of the voice cast here. Captain America, voiced by Jeff Shine.
Okay.
Not familiar with his work.
Me neither.
Let me just click that. Let's see what he's done. He's Javier Garcia in Walking Dead New Frontier. And he's Carlos in Resident Evil 3 Remake. So
Yeah, it looks like he does a lot of stuff for Square Enix. He was additional voices in 7 Remake and Kingdom Hearts 3, so it looks like he does background work for them.
Mm-hmm.
And he did, cool. I'm sorry, I was going to say he also did Just Cause 4. He was background voices, so.
Thor's Travis Willingham. Pretty notable guy. He also plays Thor in some of the cartoons.
Yes, and he's great.
Voice of Knuckles, Guile, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Cannon Bolt, if you remember Ben 10.
Oh, Bruce Banner.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
Bruce Banner is Troy Baker, as we discussed. Yes.
Black and Widow I think he's probably got the best performance in the game.
Yeah. He definitely does a good job.
But he also has the most to work with, to be fair.
Black Widow is Laura Bailey.
Yeah, and she's played Laura Bailey in other animated Marvel... Or she's played Laura Bailey. She's played...
Black Widow
in other Marvel animated projects. And you can tell that for her and also for Willingham, it definitely feels like... They're just kind of slipping back into a glove that they wear a lot.
Yeah.
You know? And they don't have a ton of screen time from what I've played so far, but I think they're like, they are definitive sounding, at least, Black Widow and Thor.
Iron Man is Nolan North.
I think he does a good job. Outside of the in combat quips, I think in the actual performance, there's a scene between him and Cap at one point that I don't want to, again, spoiler, but I don't want to talk about, but there is a scene between him and Cap where they talk, and it is fantastic. I think he does a really good job in the actual acting scenes. The in-combat quips, I don't know if they're as good as they would have liked.
Probably not. No. Of course, Kamala is Sandra Saad.
Mm-hmm.
And on the flip side, Hulk is played by Darren DePaul.
The boy Arden.
He's also characters I'm trying to just confirm what I think here. Oh, Jesus.
He has a pretty...
Okay. He's Reinhardt in Overwatch.
Yes. And then I want to look this up because there are two new heroes obviously coming. Who's Hawkeye's voice actor going to be?
I don't know Hawkeye's, but I know that... God, what's her name?
Kate Bishop is Ashley.
Kate Bishop, Birch. Ashley Birch, yes.
Yeah. Voice actor in Avengers. Okay, Kate Bishop and Maria Hill as well. They also confirmed because she'll be an NPC in. Was she played by Jennifer Hale?
That makes sense.
Yeah. Jennifer Hale, IMDb. So she's voicing Maria Hill. She shows up as a hologram throughout the game, and actually she shows up in a cutscene in the multiplayer, but she is going to be a NPC in the Kate Bishop content drop. Which actually we can talk about that a little bit because that was this week. So we'll talk about that in a minute. But Ashley Birch, like you said, is playing Kate Bishop and
Gianniotto. That's an Italian name.
Yeah, that's a very Italian name. Giacomo Gianniotti. Gianniotti, I think.
Gianniotti.
He was on Grey's Anatomy. My mom probably knows him then. Dr. DeLuca. It looks like he doesn't do a whole lot of voice work. From what I can see. But, that'll be interesting. All right, we'll talk about the announced coming content drops after we finish talking about our opinions on the game, but we will get to that in a little bit. So keep going.
Multiplayer fun. It's still pretty fun, just like the beta. I like that. I don't mind that the rarity of drops is tied to your level, or the power of drops is tied to your level, not rarity. Mm-hmm. Just because it makes, you're not going to be walking around a level two or something with like what power 101.
Yeah.
You know, stats.
Yeah.
You know, missions vary. It depends on what you're into. I don't mind doing all the, like, the shorter drop zones or the more longer war zones where you spend 20 so minutes kind of just searching for chests and stuff beforehand.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't mind any of the mission types. I think they're all fun. I don't like doing them alone as Iron Man, because that's cancer. Iron Man is a very squishy character. He's very strong, kill people very quickly, but I sure do die very quickly as well. That's why the fucking Hulkbuster exists, though, because you're invincible when you're in that.
No, not spoilers, but there is a mission, and I'm sure I assume you've already done it, where you're in the city, you're looking for something. You have to stand on that platform or stand in that area and hack while 80 guys come at you. And you're just by yourself. And let me tell you, I died a lot there.
Yeah. So Tyler, I did that mission and I went and did Stark Realities, which is the threat zone, because I had a challenge that I needed to complete. I was like, you, oh, just go do it. Why not? That was a fucking mistake, Tyler. I spent way longer than I needed. I was yelling at my fucking TV. Or my monitor. I was fucking mad. I kept dying. Like, I brute forced my way by just getting to every checkpoint I could and then dying a million times. And then, like, what I eventually had to do to... And I did the threat mission first. So I learned from that, and it didn't take me as long to do the mission you're talking about, because I'd learned from the threat zone mission. As Iron Man, you fly around, shoot as many people as you can, run out of intrinsic energy, run down, only punch people until your intrinsic energy is back. Then you get back in the air, and you just keep flying around, and you keep shooting people from the air. If you don't stay on the ground, because you will die. You will die if you stay on the ground. It sucks for that mission you're talking about, because you have to stay on the ground for that part. But, I mean, there were the people that shoot, like, the purple blasts.
Yeah.
One of those can kill you.
I got through it by not directly standing on the ground, but floating just a little bit above it.
Uh-huh.
Just to, kind of make some of those enemies who run at you miss.
Yeah.
And then go on when I need to.
Yeah, I did that. I floated. I would like run around on the ground, or I'd float above, and then I'd rain rockets below me. And once I did that for when all the smaller enemies were there, and then once the big one started to spawn and I was pretty close to completing, I just spawned in the Hulkbuster and beat the shit out. Because you're invincible when you're in the Hulkbuster. I don't think you can die. I haven't yet. There's no health bar.
So the damage you take decreases your energy.
Okay, so I just got in the Hulkbuster and ran out the rest of the timer in the Hulkbuster, but definitely playing as Iron Man by yourself is not optimal. It kind of sucks. It's kind of really annoying. I hope they buff his defense a little bit, because I get him being a glass cannon, but, like, again, if you're at full health, those purple blasts will take you down to, like, a sliver. So if you're at anything less than full health, they will one-shot you. And it is terrible. It sucks. But I get the design idea. In multiplayer, I'm still a glass cannon, but it doesn't bother me as much because I have you guys. Because Tyler and I have friends that we've been playing with, the Anson Report guys, the bros. We've been playing with them in the four-player co-op stuff, but That stuff is fine to play as Iron Man. It's not really that annoying. You go down a bunch, but as long as you're playing on level with yourself, like if you're not playing 20 levels below everybody else, you probably won't go down as much. You might still go down a couple times, but
it depends on who you are, I guess, because you know.
Hey,
you know, once
we got off the part where I was 20 levels below you guys, I didn't die as much, is all I'm saying.
At one point, we were both at the same lower level than the mission we were on. And I'm just saying, you went down more than I did.
You also have a stealth button.
That's true, but doesn't mean I can't get hit.
I'm just saying, you also have a stealth button. But regardless, Iron Man's real fun to play. Yeah, I agree on the multiplayer from what you were saying. Variety of missions. They kind of get a little samey. I mean, how many times did we fight Taskmaster that first night?
Maybe 5 times?
Yeah, and I mean...
Three of them were the same mission. The other two weren't.
Yeah, there are 3 different missions, I think, where you fight Taskmaster. So that's what it is, you know? Nothing to be done about that, but it's not too annoying. I think we actually did them in the complete opposite order, because yeah, as we fought him, it got easier and more boring.
I think we started with the last mission in that chain, yeah, and then worked our way backwards.
Yeah. And by the time we got to the last one, we just pummeled the shit out of him, and I was like, well, that wasn't fun. That was anticlimactic. And I think we just did him in reverse. But I like the way they're slowly opening the world up to you. You don't get access to everything at once.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta kind of work through the Avengers Initiative storyline, which you guys are farther than I am on, but I'll get further into that once I finish the campaign. That's my primary focus right now, is to finish that up, because I'm close. But besides the stuff that we've already talked about, Tyler, you have anything else you want to say about Avengers?
Now that I've beaten the campaign, I'm going to try to get the rest of my heroes up to at least power 100.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere close to there.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, Hulk is still my least favorite playable character. Maybe just not my thing.
I think I agree. It's between Hulk and Kamala. And they play very similarly, so that might be why I don't...
I think I just need to see them. What else is in Hulk's skill tree.
That's true.
So yeah, I'm going to do that. I'm going to start with... Well, right now I'm doing all their harm missions.
Mm-hmm.
Which are like semi-tutorials.
Yeah, just to clear out the quest log.
Yesterday, me and the bros did a couple of hives. Which are... Okay.
Yeah.
Like gauntlet floors, kind of.
Yeah.
What you do on each floor is a little different. Some point you're just beating up dudes. Other points you're like destroying shit. Pretty fun, though. Pretty good challenge.
All right.
That's it. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, I want to stay... I don't want to give it, like, a rating or anything yet. I want to play... Just because of the kind of game it is, I mean, we barely scratched the surface. I barely scratched the surface of multiplayer. I assume you also have. I assume there's still a lot more... And because you haven't gone, have you finished the next quest step in the Avengers Initiative?
I think we finished the next step yesterday.
Did you? Okay, so you're substantially, or you're further into it than I am. But I feel like there's probably still a lot more there.
There's still more missions I haven't done. A lot more missions I haven't done yet.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Do you want to? I obviously haven't finished it, so I can't give it a rating. But do you want to give the campaign a rating?
The campaign, I'd say that's a solid 9. It's a solid 9 campaign.
Okay. I don't know where I'm sitting right now. I need to finish it and just sit with it and think about it. But next week I'll have one. For the campaign, at least. But yeah, let's talk about the news with Avengers, because they did have a war table this week.
They did.
On the early launch first day, which was Tuesday. I'm trying to find the press release so I can read from that. Is this it? Where's the press release? Here it is. So they went over four new high-level mission types that we're going to be encountering throughout the Avengers Initiative. Villain Sectors, Shield Vaults, AIM's Secret Lab, and Mega Hives. Villain Sectors were in the beta. They are special missions that provide epic showdowns with powerful bosses that players want, I'm just reading from the press release, will want to return to as their heroes get closer to the game's power level cap of 150. And Shield Vaults are treasure troves of resources, gear, and secrets that must be discovered and unlocked. I don't know if that's how I describe Shield Vaults. Definitely a lot of loot. I don't know if I'd say it's like treasure loot. You know what I mean?
It depends.
The second one we did was gave us a lot of good stuff. The elite difficulty one.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Villain Sectors, they were in the beta. Did we do both of them?
In the beta, there was the warbot.
There was the warbot. There's two that we have access to right now. I don't know if you've done both. I think I've only done Taskmaster.
There's three that I've seen so far in the full game, which is Taskmaster, Abomination. We didn't do Abomination, and of course the warbot again.
Oh, I haven't seen the warbot yet on my war table.
The warbot popped up. Okay. You picked them up from the faction quest thing.
Okay.
So I got the warbot today.
All right. So they also go over players looking to test their mettle will look forward to teaming up with three friends to tackle AIM's Secret Lab, a mission only accessible after reaching the game's highest power levels. Available once a week, the AIM Secret Lab raid will culminate in a massive boss fight influenced by how well players' teams performed throughout the mission. Here's what I'll say about this. I haven't played it yet, so I can't judge it. If this is their launch raid, having it accessible one day a week is not great. If that's your endgame content and it's locked behind only being accessible once a week, I don't think that's going to be received well. I don't know how you feel
about that. The reward is for it. I've never really played a live service game before, so my thoughts on raids and their frequency is kind of null.
We'll have to see how it turns out. Hopefully it'll cycle.
Yeah, once we get there.
Hopefully it'll cycle, because if it's like Saturdays, that's it, and people like just I can't play on Saturdays, then they're just never going to be able to do it. So hopefully it cycles days. I like the idea of the boss fight being influenced by how well players' teams performed throughout the mission. I'm interested to see how that plays. But also the last type of mission is the Mega Hives, which you said you did a hive, not a mega
hive. You did a normal hive.
Okay. And a Mega Hive put players' full superhero roster to the test as they fight their way through a gauntlet of descending floors packed with enemies. The farther they go down, the higher the difficulty goes up. And once all their heroes are defeated, players will have to start over from the very beginning.
This sounds like a single-player thing.
Yes, you're right. Is that going to be a six-player activity? Or do you have to put together four... do you think it... Not six-player, but six-hero activity.
Feels like it, yeah.
Hmm.
Once one goes down, you bring in the other one.
That'll be interesting. I'm interested to see how that plays out. That's exciting. And then they talked about the first post-launch hero content coming, which is Kate Bishop. So let's talk about what's coming first, and then we'll talk about what's not coming. So what's coming is Kate Bishop. Kate's operation called Taking Aim, and the operations are what... So right now there are two operations in the game. There's the Reassemble campaign and the Avengers Initiative. And Kate's operation Taking Aim will be another operation. You can switch them. You can switch which operation you're in from the war table. And so Taking Aim will kick off in late October. It'll feature a new villain and a new mystery. And Kate Bishop, who is mentored by Clint Barton, comes with distinct hero skills and takedowns that only an Olympic caliber gymnast and master archer like Kate can pull off. Kate, from what we saw in the trailer, it looks like she can teleport.
Yeah, she definitely teleported.
Which we'll see. We'll see what that does. But Taking Aim's story will begin shortly after the conclusion of the Reassemble campaign, and it is just the first half of the two Hawkeyes story arc, Clint Barton's Hawkeye takes the stage in November to complete the double feature and lay the groundwork for what's next. So these heroes will come at no additional cost. You'll have to pay for the premium track. We've gone over this before. But here's what... So Kate Bishop, end of October. In November, we're getting Hawkeye with Clint Barton.
People are a little upset because she comes before Clint, but...
Yeah.
I mean, they're both Hawkeyes.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter to me.
And it seems like there's a story reason for that. Because it looks like from the trailer they showed that Hawkeye is working with AIM.
Yeah.
And we're not sure why. But so what people are upset about is we're getting two Hawkeyes back to back. And what was notably not shown and what they did, it's not like official. They didn't say the words, but it's pretty obvious that they were going to announce Black Panther as the first post-launch playable character, but they decided to postpone in respect of the passing of Chadwick Boseman recently, which I think is the right move to make.
Yeah, definitely a good call. Cause, I mean, either way, it's a lose-lose. You get people upset about no Black Panther, but you also get... Like, if you were to put it out or announce it, it'd be like, people would think you're just capitalizing off of him right now. And that's no good.
Yeah. Especially if they do with Black Panther what they did with all the other characters in this game. And they're not, like, carbon copies of the movies.
No.
You know, you don't want it to come out and make it look like you're going, all right, on to the next one, you know? So... We'll see. I think what is most likely, because from what we know from the data mine files, it seemed like Black Panther's operation was the one that was most ready to launch. His skill tree was the one that was most fleshed out. The Wakanda raid seemed like, if the secret lab is only available once a week, it seems like they were betting on the Wakanda raid being around to kind of flesh out their endgame content.
Yeah.
And that's obviously not coming right now. It sounds to me, from everything that we've heard, what I would hazard a guess to say is that they originally planned for Black Panther to be the first content to launch, because they also started off the war table saying that they changed what they were going to show.
Yeah.
They were going to show something else and they changed it. So it seems to me that Black Panther was going to come first, and then we were going to get a Hawkeye operation that would include both Kate Bishop and Clint Barton at the same time. They said that the Hawkeye storyline is co-op, unlike the main campaign, and knowing now that there are two Hawkeye playable characters, that makes sense, you know?
Yeah.
The other person plays as the other Hawkeye.
Because we know from the leaked list, which isn't all confirmed, but of course, having Kate Bishop there does help solidify some of it, at the very least.
Mm-hmm. And the all but confirmation of Black Panther.
Yeah, that there are other, they're not like particular like Echo heroes, like a Smash would do, but they're heroes in the same vein that will have different skills and be different in probably utility, right?
Yeah. Yeah, like it looks like Kate Bishop will have the teleporting thing that sets her apart from Clint, which could be a very big deal, potentially. That could very much change up the gameplay. But I also think the release schedule kind of backs that up. Waiting until late October for Kate and then getting Clint in November... those two are very close to each other. It sounds to me like they just split up the operation and they're going to put out what they can when they can, pretty much, and then put out the rest later. Because waiting till late October for the first update is going to be rough. Especially since we already, I mean, one of the bros is almost at the power cap on Thor already.
Yeah.
So it's going to be rough waiting towards late October for the first operation. Hopefully there's a raid in that operation, although I doubt it. If the Wakanda raid is in the Black Panther operation, I doubt that they were going to have the next operation also include a raid. You don't do a bunch of raids back to back. You kind of do a raid every so often.
Mm-hmm.
So gonna be rough waiting, especially for those endgame players waiting for the Wakanda operation to drop with the Wakanda raid. I hope that people are patient and understanding, but it's people, so I don't think they will be.
Yeah. Well, hopefully they spend that time maxing their other characters.
Yeah. I would hazard a guess that everybody playing enjoys at least two characters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm definitely going to max out Iron Man first, but then I think I'm going to move on to either Cap or Thor.
Yeah, those are the two I'm looking at right now. Cap or Thor for my next character to level up.
Mm-hmm. Or Black Widow. I'm also a fan
of Black Widow. Of course, you want to get them all for when you eventually take on the Super Hive.
Yes. But yeah, so that is that was the war table. And with that, that's the Avengers Assemble section of the podcast. We are almost 40 minutes in. I expected that to go for a while, but Tyler, let's briefly touch on Union Cross, because there was a Union Cross update. We're both Kingdom Hearts fans. We both play these stupid games. We don't play Union Cross.
No.
But we play Dark Road. And, well, we play Dark Road as much as playing Dark Road can be played. It's not really a game that you play.
It's a game that you let play itself.
Yeah. But the story updates for Union Cross, I want to kind of go to KH Insider here just so I make sure that I get everything right on the... Because I believe there were 4 cutscenes added in the Union Cross story update. The first one was a cutscene between Maleficent and Darkness. By the way, if you guys don't know shit about Kingdom Hearts, you're about to get very confused. You're not gonna know at all what's happening. And honestly, I'm not gonna make.
I don't know shit about Union Cross, and therefore I am kind of confused. Okay,
well, I'm not gonna make the effort to try to explain things because it would literally be 3 hours. But the first cutscene was of Maleficent and Darkness. Last time we saw them, they had used the Ark to leave the data world that the Union Cross characters are in. Maleficent asks if they're back in the time from where she left, because this Maleficent is the Maleficent from after you kill her in Kingdom Hearts 1.
Mm-hmm.
So what is revealed is that the Ark cannot take you out of the data world and to the future at the same time. It has to happen one at a time. First, it took them out of the data world, and now she's going to go to the future. But Darkness is not yet ready to go. Darkness says that you have no need for more darkness, and besides, my work here is not done. If I remember correctly, Darkness is sending Maleficent back to the future to be like a beacon to be able to pull the Union Cross characters forward. It would seem to me, at least, that's kind of what I think's happening. Because in order to time travel, I think people need to have... Somebody from the future has to have memories of you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, now...
That seems correct.
So now that Maleficent has memories of Lorium, and I guess through Lorium, the rest of the Union Cross characters, she can now pull them forward? Maybe?
That sounds right.
That sounds right. So it sounds like that's what's happening.
And then because the three fairies remembered Maleficent,
she's they were able to bring
her forward back to Cage too.
But apparently the Ark destroys your body when you use it. So who built
that thing? That's a raw deal.
I don't fucking know. I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know how she comes back. I don't know how she gets a body in Cage 2. Do they talk about in Cage 2 how she got a body?
No.
Did she just fucking come back? She just shows back up. And yeah, it's weird. The next cutscene was Brain and Ephemer and Scold talking about Ventus. Ventus is not doing good. He's traumatized as fuck. And there's really not a whole lot of substance in that cutscene. The next cutscene is a flashback to Lushu and the Master of Masters from before they disappeared. pretty much Lushu saying, you know, why are we going to a new world? Why aren't we trying to save this one? Are you saying that we can't beat the darkness? And Mom is like, yeah, no, you can't. And Mom goes into a... Mom gives a really meta speech where he goes, you're overthinking this. You've gone off and overcomplicated things to reach your own conclusion, only to rile yourself up over this theory as if it's the answer. Or perhaps it's because you've convinced yourself that anything you don't understand must have no answer. But you'll understand soon enough. Which is just Nomura talking to the audience going, fucking hold on. I've got a plan.
Hey, I got this. Don't worry about it.
I got this. Let me hold you in my arms and rock you on this crazy story that I'm telling you. The interesting thing, I think, is this speech that these lines of dialogue that the mom gives at the end. And he says, but it won't be easy. It would need a lot of... Lushu says, he's like, hey, is there a way to defeat the darkness? And Mom says, yes, but it's not going to be easy. It would need a lot of time and a whole lot of setup. It would take more than several lifetimes, and that's why we're going to leave this world. We will end the world. We would discard time and cast away the borders of the world, all in order to defeat the darkness. So, my question to you, Tyler, in that line of dialogue, is he saying that they're going to do all this so that they can survive into the future to defeat darkness then? Or... because when I read it, I almost interpreted it as him saying that in order to defeat the darkness, the world needs to be separated.
You know, there's a lot of ways you could take this.
Is there any point in theorizing about what the master means?
No.
Okay, cool.
There's literally no point. We okay. don't even know what he looks like.
And honestly, we don't even know if he's telling the truth. He could be fucking lying, for all we know. Like, he lies a lot. But what I think this confirms, if anything, is people want to talk about who the traitor was in back cover. I still think you could say it's Abba, but it's like, if you look at it from the larger scale, it's the master. Right?
Like what I would think.
Yeah, he talks about it right here that like his plan is to destroy this world. Like his plan is to fucking pit everybody against each other so that the world is destroyed.
Although I would think that back when Back Cover first came out, I think Gula said something about with his lost page, said something about the traitor being marked with a sigil. And the only sigil that we really know about is the recusant sigil.
Yeah.
And so, of course, that would lead back to either Lushu or the master. Because we don't know the last. We don't know the master's name, of course.
No, that's true.
Only Xehanort does, and he won't tell anyone.
I don't know. I don't think there's a definitive answer to the traitor thing, because I think there are three different answers. I think there's Mom, because he's fucking everybody over.
Yeah, I either think it's Master's Lushu, because he has an X in his name, yeah. Or it's fucking no one, and the Master's was just saying shit to get everyone riled up.
Well, I still think Ava fits the description of the traitor, because her goal is completely different from everybody else's. Her goal is, ignore all of this shit. Just go. Like, their goal is to fight each other. Your goal is to just leave. With the kids. Because take the dandelions and go. So I think she, from the other foreteller's point of view, I think she's a traitor. I think there's a ton of traitors. I think you could give it to the master, to Lushu, or to Ava. I think all three of them fit. And I mean, Ava's even a traitor because she's going against the master's wishes.
For what?
Or at least that's kind of what we... Because she gave Brain... the book, because Brain wasn't supposed to be one of the union leaders, because Ava gave Brain the book and there was a list of union leaders in it, and he was not picked by the master either, but that's also how he found out that Ventus was not picked, because Ventus's name wasn't on there either. But her whole thing was like, hey, Brain, what do you think? Because there was that scene that came out in like fucking May, because that was the last time Union Cross got an update. It was like April or something, April or May, where she was talking about like, hey, how do you feel about fate being defined for you? And he's like, bullshit, I'll make my own fate. And she's like, cool, take this book, take this piece of paper. And it has a list of all of the union leaders on it. He's like, should I look at it? And she's like, that's up to you if you want to look at it or not. Do whatever the fuck you want. And from what he said way fucking back, like 2 years ago, when he's like, I am the virus in the machine or whatever, like, it seems like Ava threw him in there because she wanted her own player in there in whatever Mom had planned. Like, she didn't really trust him completely. But who fucking knows? All of this is bullshit.
Yeah, I can't wait for this whole story to be finished, and then they put this out in a collection.
I fucking hope, dude.
Fucking cutscenes.
I hope. I mean, Nomura put out a letter that said he handed scenario forward for the rest of the year. So it's not done this year. It's like, remember in June, people were like, the final chapter, it's going to be done this year. And I was like, no, it's fucking not. It's not gonna finish this year. Fucking told you. But the last cutscene, which is like the meatiest one, is we yet again see Strelitzia die for like the fourth time. But this time we see that Ventus is in the room. So the way it plays out, I'll read this. Chirithi and Strelitzia are in the room. They see Ven. Ven is engulfed by darkness, and the darkness, not Ven, but like a shadow, lunges out and strikes down Strelitzia and Chirithi before they can move.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like darkness possessed Ven or something and then used him to kill them. Or it's unclear if Ven actually killed them or if he was just present for it. Because it doesn't look like he strikes. It looks like there's just a big like blob of darkness that reaches out and strikes. I don't fucking know. I think maybe darkness possesses Ven and uses him to kill. I don't understand.
Just wait for the Union Cross manga.
Yeah. A voice from the darkness calls out and tells Ven, pick it up. Ven picks up Strelitzia's the book. The figure goes, let's go. They walk out of the darkness into the light, and the darkness is illuminated, and it takes the form of Ava. Implying a couple things. Either the darkness is Ava, Ava's darkness, which I think that's like the most face value reading of what happens.
That's definitely how I take it.
But
until Kingdom Hearts decides to show me otherwise,
yeah.
I just think that Ava is darkness, which is what people theorized for a while anyways.
Yeah, I think it's that's the most likely answer. I do think that there is still a chance that that's just supposed to show what Ven saw. Because we already know that that Ven saw Ava differently. That like, cause when they were like, Ven, where did you get your? Although that was all bullshit. So who knows? Cause that memory was fake. The memory of him getting the book from Ava at the tower instead of on the field like everybody else was. That was implied to be a fake memory. Ava's probably dark. Look, Ava to be darkness, and then I want Vanitas to have been literal when he said that he's darkness, and then I just want to say that Vanitas is a 1,000-year-old little girl named Ava. Vanitas is Ava. That's it. That's the fucking confirmed.
Yeah, see, but I always took Vanitas saying that he was darkness as that he's darkness with a lowercase d and not a capital D.
I don't know, though, because he says he existed before Ven.
Yeah, but what is Ven, right?
I don't know!
he's this child that existed in the age of fairy tales, and then something happens, and he's pulled forward in time to be now younger than Master Xehanort, who becomes his teacher, and then he's split into two, making Vanitas, and then his heart gets destroyed by himself and gets put into Sora, and so he doesn't age again for another 10 years.
He has been a little boy for so long. I kind of hope, this is something that I've thought about for a while, pretty much ever since we found out that Xehanort interacts with the Master of Masters. I kind of hope that the Master gives Xehanort Ventus. I think that would be interesting.
Yeah, that would explain some things.
I think that would explain... I don't know, there's a lot going on with Ventus, especially since Ventus in the past is, like, the vessel of darkness in the, you know, in the occasion of Strelitzia's death. So, if Mom's plan has something to do with darkness, it would make sense that he wants Ventus to be with Xehanort, because Ventus probably carries darkness if Vanitas is in fact darkness. I think it kind of makes sense that I think the darkness just exists beyond gender or like physical appearance, and it just morphs into whatever.
This was said, you know, a while ago, but before Vanitas looked like Sora, he didn't have a face. He was like a Neo Shadow, basically.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of like, I think there's some, because I still take that cutscene from fucking years ago. At this point, it feels like years ago. Remember that scene that came out a long time ago in Union Cross where fucking the Master revealed that he had been in the Keyblade War as a kid?
Mm-hmm.
And they fought things that could take, that looked like us but weren't us? Mm-hmm. I still kind of think that the most interesting story and the most, logical story of everything that we've been given is that Darkness and the Master of Masters are the only two survivors of a Keyblade War from opposite sides. That Darkness is one of the creatures that the Master is referring to in that, and it's, like, this age-old fucking vendetta between the two of them, or something. Who fucking knows what the Master actually... Maybe he's given up, and he's on Darkness's side at this point. We really don't know anything about his motivations. But, I don't think the Master of Masters is Sora. I don't buy the whole he's talking about Kingdom Hearts 3 in that sentence. I don't know if you remember that theory where people were like, he's talking
about... I do remember
about,
that.
Yeah, I don't buy that. I think that's stupid. I really hope that's not the case. I really hope Master of Masters isn't Sora. I think that'd be really fucking dumb. I kind of get the impression that Darkness is a being. I don't think Ava is Darkness. I think Darkness is Ava. If you understand what I'm saying. Like,
yeah.
Ava didn't become Darkness. Darkness took Ava. Or Ava gave herself to Darkness as like a vessel or something. Or whatever. She decided to side with Darkness. That's kind of where I'm sitting at with what this next saga is I think it's going to be fucking Sora and the gang stuck in the middle of an age-old war between capital D Darkness and the Master, where the Master's kind of like, fuck it, let's just blow the whole thing up and do whatever we have to do to fucking take out Darkness. Like, he's like, I'm ready to just blow the whole thing up. And Sora's like, no, don't do that. Don't blow the whole thing up, please. But who fucking knows at this point? I don't know, man. I don't know. Melody of Memories is coming. Woo!
That's true. You can pre-order it.
I did.
I'm just gonna wait.
I've got it like 2.5 days early because I made a Japanese account on my Switch.
Yeah, I'm not that desperate.
I can't fucking wait to play this game, man. I'm so
I want all my cutscenes in English.
Well, I'm going to get it on PS4 as well. So my thought process is I'll skip the cutscenes on the Switch for the 2.5 days, and I'll just play the music stuff. And then when I'll start over on my PlayStation and get the story.
Yeah. No, that's not who I am.
That's not the kind of man you are.
If I were to, I'm not really, there have been games that have come out that released in Japan early that that I want to play, but haven't, because I could stand to wait. Doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing that that's coming only 2 days after the Japanese release is fine. I don't care.
Fair enough.
It's not like, you know, a game that I'm constantly thinking about purchasing in the Japanese version of, which is Persona 5 Scramble.
Mm-hmm.
Because we still don't really know anything about that release in America or in English at all.
Yeah. I want to play that. All right.
Demo was fun.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you a choice. We can talk about Persona 5 Royal for a little bit and then end the show. Or we can hit on some of the news bites we have and we can talk about Persona 5 Royal next week. I don't want to do both, because then the show will go on way long. We're already at an hour.
We can talk about the news.
Okay. All right, let's jump into the news bites then. First of all, the first thing I wanted to bring up, this is, it's all news bites, so these shouldn't take super long. But this is probably the funniest thing I read today, or this week, which was Sean Murray from Hello Games, the creators of No Man's Sky, said that they're working on a brand new, huge, ambitious game that's similar to No Man's Sky, which is like, did you not learn your lesson? Like,
no.
I like No Man's Sky. All right. I didn't mind it at launch. But now, even years later, with all the updates they've done, I think it's a pretty solid game. That being said, fucking aim lower, dude.
Yeah, maybe just bring it down a couple notches.
Yeah.
Don't get people's expectations too high again.
Yeah. What are you even gonna, because I feel like you could still keep going with No Man's Sky. I don't see why you'd do another game, honestly. I think there's still stuff to do in No Man's Sky, but I don't know. Does this, like, because when I read that, it more gave me dread than excitement. What did you think when I just read that to you, or when you saw it in the notes?
All I said was, good luck.
Yeah. I don't, we'll find out more later, but that seems like a bad idea to me. I'm not a Mario guy. You are more of a Mario guy than I am. I don't know if you're like an actual Mario guy, but you're more of a Mario guy than I am.
I hate 2D Mario.
Okay.
Just like I hate 2D Sonic.
Okay.
I like the 3D games. So this is where I live, kind of.
Okay.
There's some stipulations with this news that really appeals to me. Not appeals, but applies to me.
Okay. So here's what we're going to do. I did not watch the Direct. Did you actually watch it?
I did watch it.
Okay, so I'm just going to set you up, and then I'm going to let you go. Pretty much, there. I think it was a surprise Direct. I don't think they announced it beforehand.
Yeah, they just plopped it on YouTube one morning.
And it's the 35th anniversary of Super Mario Bros., and it is the anniversary Direct. And why don't you just tell us what they announced?
So, all year, we've been hearing announcements of this fabled Super Mario 35th anniversary collection that would include Super Mario 64, Super Mario Sunshine, Super Mario Galaxy, and Galaxy 2, as well as probably 3D World. And it's been going on since like the start of the year. And so I thought, well, we haven't seen anything about it. Maybe it's probably bullshit. Until they dropped it Direct the other day. Maybe it was yesterday?
It was 2 days ago. Maybe it was yesterday.
No, yeah, it was yesterday. Yesterday.
Okay.
So this collection has three games: 64, Sunshine, and Galaxy. Galaxy 2, I guess. And they'll be optimized for the system with higher resolutions. They'll even put sunshine in widescreen aspect ratio. Not 64. They didn't do that.
Okay.
But it's a good collection. We'll say that you can only buy the collections physically and digitally until March 2021, which people don't like. I'm not a big fan of that.
Yeah, I think that's kind of scuffed.
It's a little weird.
I'm used. I feel like, I heard about it and I was like, that's scuffed. And then I went, it's Nintendo.
I'd be more upset, but the other collections, like the first Super Mario All-Stars collection, as well as I think the Kirby All-Stars collection, also were both limited releases. So it's not something new, but it is weird. But just like any physical edition, you'll be able to find it sometime after launch, maybe in a bargain bin or some scalper on eBay. Who knows? Mm-hmm. Depends on how good it is. It comes with music player mode to have you listen to all the game soundtracks, just like Smash does. You can listen to the music while your Switch is in sleep mode.
And Melody of Memory is also going to have one of those.
Mm-hmm. But I will say I'm going to be getting this collection. Probably also buy it for a friend. But I don't give a fuck about 64 Sunshine.
Oh.
Just kind of want to play Galaxy again.
Okay. And here's my take on this. I'm going to buy this collection because I've never played any of these games. So, I'm going to play them. I'm going to try to get some Mario culture. Because I'm not very cultured when it comes to Nintendo. I played Pokemon. That was about it. I haven't really played any of the Zelda games. I haven't really played any of the Mario games. So I'm going to kind of dip my toe into the waters of what are some classic 3D Mario games. And see what I think. But
I liked Odyssey. I think that's a fun game.
I own Odyssey. I just need to beat it. I like it. It's fine.
I beat it and I have the hardcover guide. So I just go into a world and hunt for stars.
I liked Odyssey more than I liked Breath of the Wild because Odyssey did not give me anxiety.
Oh, yeah. No, Breath of the Wild will do that.
Breath of the Wild gives me anxiety because I'm just walking around going, I'm missing stuff. I'm missing stuff. I must be missing everything. I must just be missing everything. Like, I'm totally missing all of the content of this game. Whereas Odyssey, I'm like, yeah, it's a fucking Mario game. Like, I'm doing what I need to do.
Yeah, I would in Breath of the Wild, I'd probably get more anxious when it's raining, especially when it starts raining while I'm climbing shit, or and I just start sparking with electricity because I'm gonna get electrocuted by the lightning. Never a good time. But this Super Mario 3 All Stars will release on September 18th.
Coming soon.
So you have a good 6 months to buy it before they take it off the stores. I mean, honestly, if you don't buy it within that time frame, it's kind of your fault. Yeah. It's a little bit your fault.
You kind of don't want to play them, right?
Even if you just like think you want to play it later, should probably 6 months to buy it. You should probably buy it if you're thinking.
Yeah, honestly, I don't even know when I'm going to get around to it. I'll probably end up scooping it on Amazon so I can have it and have it ready. You know.
They also released Super Mario 3 World Plus. They announced it, Super Mario 3 World Plus for Switch. They will release on February 12th, 2021. It's the game, just like you know it. We'll have some extra content, including Bowser's Fury, which is new. Some people are thinking you might be able to play as Bowser at some point in this. And that's all cool. That's the game I want to play the most out of all of these.
Mm-hmm.
So even when I had a Wii U, I never just got around to buying it. I'm glad we're still slowly killing the Wii U. Just get rid of that.
Yeah, please.
It's a bad system.
Yeah.
They also announced like a Game & Watch Mario Brothers kind of thing. That has like Game & Watch games with Mario heads and also, of course, functions as a clock. That's neat. Not really for me. And, aside from that, the other game they're releasing, which is also a limited kind of run thing, is Super Mario Bros. 35. They'll release on October 1st, for Nintendo Switch Online users. Remember Tetris 99?
Yeah.
This is that, but with Mario.
See, this is maybe the most fascinating thing they announced. I want to know how it works, because that's
even watching like the gameplay they had of it, I don't know what it means or how it how these functions operate. But it, I mean, it'll be all right. I'm sure someone will come in and say how good that is.
Yeah, and if you have Nintendo Switch Online, you get it, right? It's
just yeah.
So
just like Tetris 99.
Yeah, that's dope.
They also announced a bunch of Mario stuff for other games, as well as clothing stuff.
Yeah, I didn't write any of this down.
But there's going to be Mario-themed furniture in Animal Crossing. I think Splatoon 2 finished their run of Splatfest, so there's no more Splatfest. There's going to be another Splatfest in Splatoon that has, I think it's like Super Mushroom versus a Power Star. And some other stuff, like, just they're putting Mario shit in every game for the anniversary. As long as you're playing on Switch. So just look for that stuff. That kind of wraps up the presentation. It's only like 16 minutes long. Rest in peace, Galaxy 2.
Yeah. You think they'll bring it sometime?
Maybe. Who knows? People are suggesting that the limited release of the 3-in-1 game is probably because they're gonna, you know, they're probably just gonna sell those individually later on. Because why not?
Yeah.
You've already done the work. Why wouldn't you put those out by themselves if you could?
Yeah.
But who knows? I'll definitely buy it for Galaxy.
All right. Well, that's hype. And the last little news bite we've got. Sony is said that they're going to be bringing more first-party titles to PC. Makes sense.
Yeah. I think Horizon did well, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't know if it did well, like, critically. I think there were a ton of performance issues, but it's a fucking great game, so I'm sure it sold well. People want to play it.
Yeah, it's sort of the same. This is sort of the same story with Atlus, where it's like, oh, we put our games on PC. They did really well. You mean we could be making more money? Wow.
Yeah. I think PlayStation will continue to do the exclusive launches.
Yeah.
But it sounds, because I think that's like their selling point, right?
Is that definitely want to get your console people who are going to buy it right then and there to get that purchase first. Wait some time, maybe six months to a year. And then get the PC people who don't have a PlayStation, have been yearning for this game, to buy it too. There's more sales, maybe even some double dippers in there. You know?
Yeah.
I know if they release Bloodborne on PC, people would lose their fucking minds.
No, that would it would break the internet. It would break the fucking internet.
So, yeah, just do it, Sony. Don't worry about those idiots who like get mad that you port them to PC.
Yeah, that's weird, right? Why, like, you can talk about other games now with other people.
Your console version isn't going anywhere.
Yeah.
Sorry, now I was chewing gum.
That's all right. You have more people to talk about your favorite game with. Just shut up. Just stop.
All right.
We don't have a main topic, so we're going to hit the upcoming releases and get out of here. There's not much in the next week. September 8th, Kingdoms of Amalur: Re-Reckoning is releasing for Windows, PS4, and Xbox One. I'll probably scoop it at some point. Not anytime soon. I owned Kingdoms of Amalur, but never actually got around to playing it. So maybe this will finally be my chance to play it. And on September 10th, Tell Me Why Chapter 3 releases on Windows and Xbox One. And I think that's the final chapter. I think we're already done with it. They definitely weren't pulling a... Yep, that's it. Episode 3, that's it. They did the weekly release schedule instead of the, you know, fucking half a year release schedule. And actually, one last thing I'm just going to bring up really quick, because I just remembered it, but The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt is going to be getting a free upgrade the complete edition, free upgrade to next gen, Xbox Series X and PS5. Maybe I'll finally play it. Who knows? Probably not.
Well, I'm glad it's a free upgrade. I do own the Ultimate Edition for PS4. Bought it like post Black Friday sale.
Mm-hmm.
Still haven't opened it. It's installed, just haven't opened it. Haven't even clicked the button.
Maybe so, this will be our time. Maybe this will be our time with the advanced ray tracing and shit to finally play it. But probably
it just means not. It's gonna sit on my PS5 and not be opened.
Yeah, pretty much. All right, Tyler, where can the people find you online?
You can find me on Twitter at twitter.com. That's right. Tyler Rims. That's CYLERTYLERIMS. In my bio, you can find all the other podcasts I do, including Ride or Die, Trouble with Tipton, All the Angles, and this one, as well as at some point will be the Danny Phantom podcast that is still in the works. Gotta get that set up.
Mm-hmm. And you guys can follow me on Twitter at Sean_AFK. All of the podcasts I do are in my bio. You guys can email us at gameoverscreen@gmail.com, and we're on Twitter at OverscreenPod, and we host this show on Anchor at anchor.fm/gameoverscreen. We're available on Anchor, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, and Spotify, but we're expanding. Anchor is submitting us to other platforms. I get emails, every couple days saying that we're on a new platform, so hopefully it'll come to Apple Podcasts and such soon. That's kind of what I'm waiting on, but yeah. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll catch you guys next time on the Game Over Screen.